again tonight. Brother Matt Smith will be coming to preach for us.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. I don't mean this in an arrogant fashion, but anybody that I bring here to preach, count on it, they're the right kind of person. I am not about to bring somebody here that I doubt anything at all about. I would trust my own children to them. I would trust my church to Brother Smith. Matter of fact, I have trusted my children to them. I used to babysit them. But I mean that. Brother Smith is a fundamentalist to the core. He believes like we believe. He's a soul winner. He's old-fashioned, has standards, has separation, tells it like it is. Doing a great work. He's got a military ministry. He's captain in the army. Is that right? He's a chaplain. He does a lot of counseling, and he's helping our troops. Thank God for a pastor that has a heart like that. But also, more importantly, in my book, he's a great pastor. He took a tough church. I know a little bit about it and the history of that church, and Ohioans are tough nuts, let me tell you. Hard-headed nuts. And you say, how do you know? Because he and I both are one. He grew up not far from there, actually. Sandy Valley is just about a half hour south of where I grew up, honestly. It's just down south of Canton South, between Canton South and Bolivar, Dover, New Philly area there. And I know the area quite well, but this is my friend. I love him. I trust him. And I'm glad you get to know him a little bit. I got a wonderful family. Well, most of them. At least the girls are. boys are pretty ugly, but they take after daddy. And but anyway, I thank God for his friendship. I don't look at myself as an old man. Some of you do, but I don't yet. But I look back at some of the things God's allowed my wife and I to get to do in the ministry, and one of which I got to train Brother and Mrs. Smith a little bit in the ministry when they were in Bible college. You know, if that's the only thing I ever did all those years ago, it's worth it. But I got to do it over and over and over and over again, and it's exciting. It really is. I'm glad you get to hear him. I'm glad I get to hear him preach. Brother Smith, come preach to us tonight.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you tonight.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. While you're standing, if you'll take your Bibles and you open them up to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, coming to your church is exciting. Seeing your church buildings, that was impressive.
Amen.
And I was working diligently to get my wife to get saved there so you could have someone saved already. But
already had three.
Well, I was hoping mine would be one of them. But you pray for her. And but indeed, no, it's been exciting. It's been good to be there. There's something in the air, they say, and it's just a feeling that the Lord brings when God's people have a mind to work. And I'm excited about that. The message I preached this morning was entitled Ending with a New Beginning. And the reason that I chose that message and asked the Lord to allow me to preach that message is because I can see your church perched as a book with that picture, with that page, about ready to turn.
Yes, sir.
You're about ready to end this chapter, and you're about ready to flip the page to a new chapter
and
getting ready to see what comes next.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't like to read the end of the story before the beginning of the story, unless it's the Bible. Then every so often, I just need to remind the devil where he's going to end up.
Yes,
but
sir, amen.
That beside that, I'm excited to see what the Lord has in store for Grace Baptist Church. With that thought in mind, tonight's message is entitled Gaining by Building. Gaining by building. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, if you'll look, and these are powerful verses. Again, it's God's word, so it has to be powerful. But beginning with verse number 19, if you'll follow along as I read, the Bible says this, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Them that are under the law is under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law," now notice what it says, "being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some.
Amen.
Our text verse is verse number 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Will you say those next words with me? That I might gain the more. Now that's interesting. Because if we're truly here to gain the more for God, we better do it the way God tells us to.
Yes, sir.
Tonight, I think, if we follow God's plan, that we will end up gaining by building. And Amen. So let's talk to Him and let's ask His presence. Father, I need You tonight. And Lord, we thank You so much for the group that is here. Lord, those that have a mind to work, those that want to see Your hand move in a powerful and a miraculous way. And so, Lord, tonight may that moving be within each of our hearts. And Lord, in a few moments, may we leave here changed, different. Lord, not the same as we were when we came in, but Lord, more like You and less like us. Lord, I pray that You would hide me behind Your cross, that You would give me Your words to say to Your people, that, Lord, Your work might be done Your way. So may we follow Your will, may we do it Your way, and we're asking the blessings now in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I've asked if Mr. Wyatt, could you come help me for a minute? Come on up here, buddy. I know these are your mom's blocks, but I want you to do me a favor. I want you, now it's going to be hard, so can you reach up here? Can you stand on a chair? Yeah, come here. I'll leave these here. I want you to take these blocks, and I want you to build me a tower right here. Can you do that for me?
Okay.
You just work at that diligently, and I mean, take your time. That's fine. I mean, no pressure at all. Just pick them out. Perfect. That's lovely. I love what you're doing with that. It's beautiful. It kind of reminds me of your church building. Yes, very nice. Good. Oh, this is good. There he goes. He's so methodical about this.
Got that from his mother.
There we go. Oh. Yeah, we'll just start building again. That's a good idea. I don't mean to interrupt. Just don't let me tell you what to do with your box. Go ahead. Just set them right up there. There you go. Just keep on building. That's good. He's building something that we are all fascinated by. How big will he build it? How tall will it be? It's pretty impressive. How tall are you going to make it? You going to make it really tall? Going to make it really big? There you go. There you go. That's good. Hey, look at this. Watch this. What do you think of that? Well, let's try that again. You want to build another one there. Just build that, if you will. That'd be great. That is nice. I like your blocks, right? Fantastic. That's so nice. Look at that, straight and everything. Got another one there. That's awesome. Good job. Hey, can I build one? Okay, I'm going to build one too. All right, can I build here with you? All right, there you go. This is fantastic. Look at this. This is pretty amazing. Go ahead. Let's see. Where's it at there? Go ahead. Hey! You knocked down my blocks! Wyatt, why would you do?
You did that to me.
I did that to you. Ah, so what we saw, and I'll not make you do it anymore. You can go sit back down with mom and dad. But I want you to help him down there. But I wanted us to see this because when you build, sometimes things get knocked down. And to be honest, sometimes somebody else builds up and you knock things down.
That's right.
And sometimes someone else knocks down what you've built up. And can I tell you, the message that you have already seen tonight is impacting, it's powerful, and it's convicting. And if it's not, let me explain it. When I started to build, how many thought, knock them down. Can I tell you that is exactly what happens to the people in our lives that have wronged us?
That's right. That's
You knocked down my blocks, and so now I'm going to give you a taste of your own medicine.
Uh-huh.
So let me ask you this. When he knocked down my blocks, did that make more of a mess or less of a mess? It's true. It's
good stuff.
It's true. And I've got to tell you, so many times in our life, there are things and there are people and there are lives all around us, and we get so focused on what someone's doing to our blocks, doing to our life, doing to us, that we feel justified, we feel vindicated, when we lash out and when we knock them down. Can I tell you, I'm not proud of this, but when I was a young man, I learned at a very young age how to cut someone down very quickly with my tongue and what I would say. I'm not proud of this, but my mother and I are very similar tempered, and I learned very quickly that I had control and I had power against her. She would say something to me I wouldn't like, and so I would retort back. And when she would say something I didn't like, it hurt me, and then I would respond. What I would say to her would hurt her, and then she would come back to me, and she would say something else that would hurt me more. And then I would say something back to her that would hurt her even more. And this volley would go back and forth, cutting at each other and wounding each other and saying things we could never take back, until finally somebody would reach their limit and say, "I can't take it anymore. I'm done." And they would walk away. And then I would stand there and think, "Huh, I won. What did I win? Nothing. I lost. I lost a lot." Now, thank God for a godly mother who knows how to forgive. Thank God for a powerful God who knows how to forgive.
Yes, sir.
Knows how to change a heart and knows how to work in our hearts. But I want you to know, I've spent too many days of my life tearing others down.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to do that anymore. I want to build up. Now, again, we've used blocks tonight to illustrate the truth. And like I said, I bet we could close the invitation or close the message right now, and I think we'd have a full altar, because if you're like me, my mind is going back to conversations I've had, people that I've dealt with, situations that I've handled poorly, things that have happened, and I think right now, oh, dear Holy Spirit, please move on off of that. I mean, you've been there. Where the preacher's preaching and you're thinking, get off that stinking nanny cam preacher putting our house. Why does he know all about everything I've been doing? Woman, you start, no more counseling with preacher. None. No more. Tell you now. Good night. What we say at home stays at home. And she says, me? It was you. In middle church, you're having a fight. Elbows are flying and shins are getting kicked. And good night. I'm telling you. And then we realize, oh, it's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
He knows us. He calls our number. He rings our doorbell. He stands on our doorstep. He beats down our door. And he says, hey, I'm here. And I'm setting up shop until we fix this.
It's good.
Wow. But I thought we're supposed to be building for God. How many times do we say, I want to serve God and I want to build for God, and then our actions or our words or what we say and do goes against what we've said we want to do?
Yes, sir.
And again, I understand that struggle that goes on. The things that I do, those things I would, those I do not, those things that I do not, those I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, the apostle said, I understand that. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we do something that pulls something down and we feel justified because we've done it. Because our reason was good enough. I want to remind you, when those moments come, please, in your mind, try to go back to Gethsemane. Try to go back to Calvary. And try to remember how your Savior hung on the cross for your sins and did not lash out at you because of what you did to put him there. Gaining by building. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more.
Yes.
You know what I didn't see? when this big mean preacher knocked down Wyatt's blocks, there wasn't a single person here that said, "I'll help you, Wyatt. Let me pick those pieces up with you." Not a single one. I got to tell you how many times we walk through life and we see other people who've been torn down and we say, "Oh, well, that's just a shame. That never should have happened. I'm sorry for you." And what they need is someone to come around and say, "Boy, can I help you build your building back up? Can I help you build your blocks back up? I don't want to hurt you. I'm here to help you. I want you to understand that the church is a place of helping and healing the hurting." That's the function that we do. Now, what's the church made up of? Oh, that's easy. The church is made up of a bunch of people who've been hurt.
Yes, sir.
And if you've not been hurt, just stick around. Just keep wearing them feelings on that sleeve. We'll get them all bruised up. Don't you worry. The truth is we're all susceptible. We've all been hurt. And here's what I found. Church is about reaching out. And do you know, if you think about when you've been hurt, you tell me if it's been a time when you've been all clammed up or if it's been when you've been really far extended. You've been reaching out like you never reached out before. You've been trying to help as many people as you possibly can. You're totally exposed. And something, somehow, some way, comes across and smacks you and smites you. And you pull back and you start buckling up. And that's the way it works. And the devil knows if he can sucker punch you, well, you're fully extended, you'll never do that again.
That's right.
At least that's what he's counting on.
Mm-hmm.
But can I tell you what the church is about? The church is about finding folks who have been hurt and wounded, and they've all curled up in a ball, and they've been all as if everybody's out to get them. You ever met somebody like that? Everybody's out to get me. And I got to tell you what, we're all susceptible to that.
Yes, sir.
Every single one of us. Someone cuts you off and suddenly it's a crime against humanity, but more importantly, it's a crime against you. I mean, that person left their house that morning and said, "I'm going to zero in on Joe Lopez. I'm going to find him. I'm going to track him down. I'm going to do everything I can to cut him off."
Man, there we go.
Probably not, Brother Joe. Hate to burst your bubble, but... Now, with Miss Leanne, it's the deers that have this conversation.
Oh, they... No, that's
mom. That's true. See, all those deer get together, and they say, "Now here she comes around the corner. She'll be coming around the corner when she comes. Yeehaw! You got her, friend! Thanks, George!" And it's all over. But the average person does not have a conspiracy against them to cut them off. But that's what we think. Someone's unkind to us, and suddenly it's all about us. That's how selfish we become.
That's right.
And that's how much we think of ourselves. Can I tell you something? You're not as important as you think you are.
No, you're right.
Remember what I said a minute ago about getting your feelings hurt? Well, there you go. Signed, sealed, and delivered. But I got to be honest, I think the same way too.
Yes, sir.
Someone shortchanges me at the cash register and suddenly there's some pickpocket there, so I'm going to uncover some ring of thieves and they've been stealing people's credit card information and I'm probably going to get... It's how we all think. And what do? I'm justified. I'm vindicated. I can yell at them. I can make a mean face to them. I can say things that preachers shouldn't hear me say. And I can do things that only Mrs. Bush would do. And it would be okay. I'm looking for a place to stay tonight. Just until tomorrow. I can pick my family up. The truth is... That's right. The dog gets to sleep where I was. But you know, the truth is that is oftentimes how we feel. Everything's okay. I can be a good Christian until someone crosses me. And then if someone crosses me, you better watch out. Hell hath no fury. Like a woman scorned. I had somebody ask me that one time. "Hey, where is that in the Bible? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." I said, "It's not in there. But I've been petitioning God to put it in there because it's really good." But the truth is, that's how we feel. Someone's done us wrong, and it doesn't matter now. Someone's hurt us who loves us deeply, and it's okay now for us to lash out and say unkind things and mean things and to work like that. But I got to remind you, the purpose of what we're doing here is to gain by building.
Yes, sir.
Building. It's never helped anybody to tear another person down. And I'll tell you this. I don't believe you'll be able to gain and grow as you gain without building to gain. Mm-hmm. I love these prints, and I love these floor plans, and that's amazing. But here's what you're seeing every single week. This isn't happening by accident.
That's right.
You're not going to be able to pull into Grace Baptist Church at, where's the address? 4272 Charlestown Road. It was there a minute ago. Woo! And you're not going to pull in there one day and say, thank you so much. Woo! And say, wow, how'd that happen? I never saw that coming. No, you've seen how it happens. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of planning. And yet we expect people to walk through our doors and be mysteriously and magically all put together.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works.
That's right.
Matter of fact, I want to remind you, when they walk through those doors, they're coming through just like you did one time.
That's right.
Broken, bruised, battered,
yes.
Not trusting anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody somewhere handled them wrong, mistreated them. Some preacher somewhere didn't know what they were doing or didn't do it the right way. And so when they show up, they're second guessing and they are skeptical about everything they hear and see.
Man.
But I'm going to tell you, they need built too.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They need built too.
That's right.
Brother Barnes and I were talking and he said, you know, there's so many people who are going to come and be a part of our church. It's going to happen in fast order. It's going to come quick. Mm-hmm. We're going to see all kinds of people. And he said, we got to make sure that they don't change who we are.
Yes, sir.
Brother Barnes, I don't think that you're going to be able to change who you are.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like a church that's been built by people who know how to help and heal the hurting.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what that means is you're not going to get a lot of finished products coming through the door.
Man.
You're not going to get a lot of folks that maybe know how to dress and know how to talk and know what not to do. And I remember, and I still do it, I'll make jokes like your preacher does about, hey, deacons, don't go out back and smoke. And everybody is think, chuckle, chuckle. But I look in the back and someone's going, really? Shouldn't do that? No, Mrs. Smith, you shouldn't do that. Good night, you think you'd learn. No, the truth is, you're going to have some folks that need to be built up. They're going to come to church, and the preacher's going to be preaching. They're going to say, well, blankety blank, that's good. Well, I appreciate the sentiment. I really do. We got some work to do here. You say, I don't know what I'd do if that happened. Well, hang on. It's going to happen. Because we are filled with people who need to be built up.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you, folks, you don't get what you want. You get what you are.
Yes, sir.
Ouch. Let me say that again. You don't get what you want. You get what you are.
Uh-huh. That's good.
My church is filled with crazies. What's that tell you about me? Yeah. And Brother Bush and I were talking. I said, them's be my monkeys. That be my circus. Absolutely. You get what you are, not what you want. And the truth is, we've got to remember that. Because if you have been like me and someone has built you and 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 built you, you're so glad for where you are, you don't necessarily want to remember where you used to be. And when someone walks through the door, it reminds you of what you used to be.
Yes, sir.
And there's a part there that says, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to be there. But remember, it was the grace of God that took you from there to where you are today.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you what, you better learn to gain by building. You're not going to be able to gain and grow as you gain without building to gain.
Yes, sir.
You need to know that as you seek to build for Christ, there's going to be foes and adversaries that are going to attempt to tear down what you're building.
That's right. Yep. Boy, that's so good.
Know that.
Yes, sir.
You mark my words. You've already experienced some of it, but I wish I could tell you it's one of those things that once it's done, it's over with, and you can mark that off the list of life and say, whoa, good, we're through that. Round two. Round 22. Round 2,222. Another breath. Here we go. Man, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to do anything for God, there's going to be opposition.
Yeah.
By the way, if you learn to feed on that opposition, when the opposition comes, it's not, oh my goodness, we got to stop it. Hey, I guess we're doing the right thing. It's time to hunker down and start pulling.
Come on.
I'm going to tell you, when there was an old Mennonite fellow I used to work for building pole barns and timber frame cabins, and he had a big old mare in the barn. And that old thing, we went to the barn, and she's just dancing and antsy, and I thought, what is wrong with her? And he said, I'll show you what's wrong with her. He said, watch this. And he went and he put her harness, threw it up on her back. As soon as she felt that harness, she just kind of hunkered down. Got real quiet. He reached underneath her, grabbed that strap, put his foot on the side of her, and just pulled tight. Says she just wants to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, when the devil comes and starts putting some burdens on your back, starts putting that harness of burdens and sadness upon you, you do well to learn, you know what? That's just par for the course.
Uh-huh. And go.
All right. That's what you want to do? You're froggy, let's jump.
Yeah.
You want to go? Let's roll. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to back away from a fight, but the truth of the matter is, you and I get in a fight, your kneecaps are going to know it.
Yes, sir.
I've been this tall since I've been in the fourth grade. That's right. Now you know why they make knee braces, good brother. I'll tell you right now. I might not win, but you know we tangled. And I'm going to tell you, the truth is, the devil needs to learn that about some of you.
Yes, sir.
He's gotten so used to pushing you around, putting a little bit of adversity in front of you, and that's all it takes to make you cower in the corner. Put your tail between your legs and say, well, you know what? I guess this church thing just isn't for me. I guess, you know what? All those things. It was just an emotional decision, preacher. I didn't really mean that. It was, you know, it was good. It was a sunny day, and it was a bright day, and there was no clouds in the sky. There was no rain up there. You know what? It's getting tough now. I don't think I'm going to go to church anymore.
Come on.
It was okay when everything was okay, but now it's difficult and it's hard, and well, I don't think I can take that.
Come on.
The devil's just sitting back and saying, well, I didn't even get started yet. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality.
Amen.
The first John says, greater is he that is in you,
yes,
than he that is in the world.
Yes, sir.
About time we take him to task.
Yes, sir.
It's about time that when that adversity comes at you, you begin to remember that, you know what? This is par for the course. We expect this. Don't let it take you by surprise. Don't let it blindside you. Don't let it get you off course. You hunker down. You go through the storm.
Yes,
you
sir.
Let it weather on you. And you say, God, I'm going to see you face to face. And when I see you, I want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to do what God wants me to do, but the truth is, if I have to die trying, that's what I'll do.
Amen.
I tell you what, we got too many people that are far too busy looking for a way to get out.
Yes, sir, that's right.
And you're never, never going to gain by building if that's all it takes to stop you.
That's right.
It's never going to work. Never going to work. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to quit. I just don't know how to do it. You know, I was reading a story not long ago about Dr. William Leslie. Now, that name doesn't mean anything to anybody here. I'll be honest with you. It didn't even mean anything to me until I started searching. Let me tell you what Dr. Leslie was. In 1912, he was a medical missionary. He went to live and to minister to tribal people in a remote corner of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. After 17 years, he came back to the United States, and he was a discouraged man because he felt he had failed to make an impact for Christ. He died 9 years after he came back to the States. At 84 years old, he died feeling he was a failure for what he tried to do for God. It was 1912. 2010, a team led by a fellow by the name of Eric Ramsey and Tom Cox of World Missions made a shocking and a sensational discovery. They found a network of reproducing churches hidden like glittering diamonds in the dense jungle across the Kwale River from Vanga to where Dr. Leslie was stationed. With the help of the mission aviation pilot, Ramsey and his team flew from Kinshasa to Vanga in a 2.5-hour flight in a Cessna. After they reached Vanga, they hiked a mile up the river and found dugout canoes to cross the half-mile-wide expanse. Then they hiked with backpacks another 10 miles into the jungle before they reached the first village of the Yanzi people. Based on his research, Ramsey thought the Yanzi in the remote area might have some exposure to the name of Jesus, but no real understanding of who he is. But when they got there, they were unprepared for what they found. He said, when we got there, we found a network of reproducing churches throughout the jungle. Each village had its own gospel choir. Although they wouldn't call it that, he notes, they wrote their own songs and would have sing-offs from village to village. They found a church in each of the 8 villages and they visited that were scattered across the 34 miles. Ramsey found a 1,000-seat stone cathedral church in one of the villages. And he learned that this church had got so crowded in the 1980s, with many walking miles to attend, that a church planting movement began in the surrounding villages. There's no Bible in the Yanzi language, they say, so they used a French Bible. So those who taught had to be fluent in French. Apparently, Dr. Leslie crossed the river once a year from Bangan, spent a month traveling through the jungle, carried by servants in a sedan choir, a sedan chair. He would teach the Bible, taught the tribal children how to read and write, talked about the importance of education, and told the Bible stories. Dr. Leslie started the first organized educational system in the villages. They began to tell the story of him, but the interesting part was Dr. Leslie felt that he had died a failure. Can you imagine what that meeting must have been like in heaven? When Leslie got to heaven and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, you're sorry. What are you sorry for? I failed you. You failed me. I want to show you your failure.
That's right.
Took him to the portals of glory, started letting him see hundreds and thousands who heard the gospel story, getting saved,
yes,
making church plants all throughout the jungles. You see, my good friends, you and I are here to do what God told us to do, not try to measure the success by things that we count successful.
Amen.
You want to take that story another notch higher, you would find out that he was a part of the American Baptist Missionary Union that in 1814, Adoniram Judson founded.
That's right.
Adoniram Judson didn't feel he was very successful either. I'm here to tell you that story because the task of building life and lives, it takes a lifetime.
That's right.
And I've got a sneaking suspicion that's the reason that our rewards are eternal.
That's right.
So I said that we're going to have to learn to gain by building, and I've got 3 very simple ways that you and I are going to need to be able to build. Number one, you're going to need to build in prayer.
Amen.
Prayer. You say, I don't know what I can do. I'll tell you what you can do. You can pray.
Yes, sir.
You say, okay, now I lay me down to sleep. No, that's a good place to start. Don't do that now. Don't sleep now. Don't do that to me now. You're going to hurt my feelings, boys that belong to me. Evans, they wore them out. Brother Evans just took them for a ride and brought them back. Thanks a lot, brother. But I'm going to tell you what, you can build in prayer. You say, well, what's that mean? I'll tell you what that means. It means when a child of God gets into the portals of glory and kneels down before the throne of grace, you grab a hold of those legs on the throne of God, and you don't let go until He answers you. You hold those names up in prayer, those ones that you're concerned with, those ones that you are afraid they might die and go to a devil's hell. When you get those names on your tongue and you get bowed down before God and you grab a hold of the throne of grace and you don't let it go and you say, God, I'm not going to leave here until you do something in those lives.
Yes. Amen.
You can build by prayer. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many of us actually know how to pray. I mean, earnestly pray. I mean, pray to the point that you forget anybody else is anywhere around.
That's right.
I can't tell you the number of people whose lives have been changed because mamas knew how to pray.
That's right.
I can't tell you how many lives have been changed and transformed because daddies knew how to pray.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you one of the greatest gifts my daddy ever gave me, he never meant to give me. I'm going to tell you right now, when I would get up in the middle of the night, I had to be cautious if I tried to walk through the living room because there was a really good chance that my father would be on his knees in front of that couch, weeping and holding my name up before the Lord. Every night he would come in and he would lay his hand upon me and he would start praying for me. He would think I was asleep, but little did he know I was in a grudge match. I would hold on and wait until he had done praying. And I'll tell you this, I can't name a time when I outlasted him. I would fight to stay awake. And the weight of that hand, the sound of that voice, like a sweet lullaby. And I would hear my daddy say, "Oh God, please, use my boy. God, use him to reach the tens, yea, the hundreds." And the years would go by and he would say, "Lord, I used to pray that the tens or the hundreds would be reached, but Lord, I pray that you would use him to reach the hundreds, yea, the thousands." And I remember when that changed. And he began to say, "Lord, would you use my son to reach the thousands, yea, the tens of thousands?"
Yes, sir.
Fellas, you want to change your boy? Pray like that.
Yes, sir.
Mamas, you want to salvage your babies? You pray like that.
Yes, sir.
They need to hear us beg God on their behalf. You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't understand how many nights I've wept myself to sleep, holding them up before the throne of grace." God knows that.
Yes,
but
sir.
I've got to ask you, do they know that?
That's right.
I remember Brother Hiles telling a story of how he was on a date. Everybody else in the car had a fifth of liquor. And he took a drink and passed it to the next one. There was three couples. And that liquor bottle made us all the way through the front row and seat and came back, and they handed it to him and said, "Hey, Jack, why don't you take some?" He said, "I never tasted alcohol before." He said, "My daddy was a drunk. My daddy would beat us. My daddy would cuss us." He said, "I looked at that bottle of liquor. I batted it out of their hand and I said, 'You take me home!'"
Man.
He said, "I remember getting home and coming up to the porch." He said, "I looked through that screen door, and there was my mama on her knees saying, 'Oh God, protect my Jackie boy. Oh God, keep him pure. Oh God, keep him safe.'" You want to change a life? Start praying like that.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you why. Because that's how you build in prayer. I've got to tell you, though, you're going to need to learn to build in outward action, too.
That's right.
You got to build in prayer, but you got to build in outward action. I am all for us holding people up before the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, if they don't see you pray, they don't hear you pray, they don't know that you've prayed.
That's right.
They don't know. You pray for somebody else in this room? Do they know that?
It's good.
I'm going to tell you, as a preacher, some of the greatest things that I can receive on a daily basis or throughout the week is when someone picks up their phone and sends me a little message that says, "Hey, preacher, just want to let you know I've been praying for you."
Yes,
I want you to know one of the greatest things your preacher's ever done for me is contacting me every single week that I can remember saying, "Hey, just want to let you know I've been talking to God about you, been holding you up before the Lord." Oh my goodness, how encouraging that is. What a blessing that is. How important that is. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's one way you can show an outward action.
That's right.
You pray for someone, that's going to build them. But you know what? You can actually help them through the hard times.
Yes, sir.
And we talk a lot about spiritual things, but I want us to remember our lives, although they need to be spiritual, they are very practical as well. Mm-hmm. You know someone who's struggling through something? When's the last time you said, "Let me help you"?
That's good.
Now, how can I help them? "I've got a meeting I want you to go to. They meet every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. I'll come by and I'll pick you up. I'll take you for a bite to eat. I'll stop by the McDonald's dumpster and let you get whatever you want."
That's
perfect. You say, "I would never eat food out of the McDonald's dumpster." You ever gone to Taco Bell? Where do you think they get it? Taco smell, good neighbor. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to build them. And you're going to have to be practical about that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to reach out to them and meet their needs. Hey, don't help them do wrong.
That's right.
Don't help them do wrong. Mamas and daddies, you got wayward children. Don't help them do wrong.
Yes, sir.
You need to understand, you do not need to facilitate their sinning natures.
That's right.
Their sinful actions, you do not need to bankroll. I want to remind you, the Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard.
Yes, sir.
I want you to remember that the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15, he had a hard time that brought him to the moment where the Bible says, and he came to himself.
Yes, sir.
That's good. I'm going to tell you, I believe we padded the pig pen.
Mm-hmm.
We padded that pig pen so much that they don't understand the sting of their sin.
That's right. That's good.
And by the way, many of us have been the recipients of someone padding our fall. It's not helped us.
That's right.
I understand as a parent, I don't want to see my children hurt. But if I have their best intention at heart, they're going to have to hurt.
That's right.
Because they haven't listened.
That's right.
They're going to have to hurt because they haven't followed the directions.
Yes, sir. It's exactly.
They're going to have to learn to obey is better than sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
That's what Saul found out in the book of Samuel. I said you're going to have to build in prayer. You're going to have to build in outward action. But last year, you're going to have to build in words.
Mm-hmm.
We started here with a story of how I would tear down. My mother and I would go back and forth. I watched, as I told you, that story, and there was a lot of folks that said, yeah, I know what that's like. It wasn't with my mom, but it was with my spouse, it was with my children, with my co-workers. To be honest, I've not done the name of Christ any good.
Good.
I've not been building people. I've been tearing them down. But they deserved it! They did it to me first. Oh, you can play that game. It's always the second person, right? You have children?
Mm-hmm.
First one, second one. Ah! They're part donkey. Send that siren running. And why is it it's always the baby of the family who's the one instigating and gets knocked a good one? Yeah, here comes mom and dad swinging like a Louisville slugger. Don't hurt my baby! You figured out I'm not the youngest child in the family. I'm the middle child. Yeah. I tell you what. But the truth is, right? That wasn't where it all started. I learned a while ago, someone's caterwauling. I don't know what you call it down here. We call it caterwauling up home. And they're bawling. You better step back first and say, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first answer is, they hit me! They did. What happened right before they hit you? I wasn't doing anything! Oh. So let me get this straight. You were there minding your own business.
Yeah.
Not doing anything.
Yeah.
And they walked up.
Yeah.
And they punched you in the face!
Yeah!
And the other one's like, I didn't do that. I promise I'm going to die. Dear Lord, I'll see you in a minute because I'm going to die out of this. No. I figured it out, all right? Now, don't get me wrong. I've had those moments. Those come to Jesus moments. You grab that child and say, do me a favor. Tell all my lost loved ones that I miss them. You're going to see them in a minute. I'm going to send you on to glory. I get that, but we've learned. It's never just one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
It takes two to tango. I don't know what tango is. Anybody here do? No, shame on you. I was checking Miss Ellen back there and Miss Marcia. Like, oh, I know that! Bible, no. Tango, yes. Well, glory. Call him Tango and Cash back there. I don't know. hard to tell. I'm going to tell you, though, our words get dangerous. They bite. And sometimes those are poison darts. You can't get them back. There's not a one of us in here that probably could not go back to a time and say, you know what, I wish I could take those words back. There was a man who had been viciously attacked by an enemy. Spread rumors, gossip, lies, untruth. But I'll tell you, most gossip is not powerful unless there's some truth.
That's right.
So the half-truths are the dangerous ones.
Yes, sir.
Man was on his deathbed. The enemy felt very, very bad about what he had done. And he was lingering his last few moments of life. And the enemy came with his hat in his hand and he said, I've not treated you well. Not treated you like a brother in Christ. He said, I've come to apologize. Will you forgive me? He said, do me a favor. He said, take this pillow to the window. The man took the pillow to the window. He said, unzip that pillow, would you? He unzipped the pillow, and inside he found downy feathers all through that pillow. And he said, do me a favor, dump all those feathers out the window. Boy, soon as the wind caught those feathers, they just went everywhere. They floated up and some fell down and they were everywhere and what a mess. And he shook the pillowcase out and he said, now what? He said, I just want you to know every one of those feathers were one of your words.
Yes, sir.
And if you could go out there and gather every one of those feathers back, he said, I could never do that. He said, then I could never forgive you. He said, but I so badly want to be forgiven. He said, I may not be able to forgive you, but the Lord forgave me. And so the Lord can forgive you through me. I want you to know there's some I'm sorries that need to be said.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about building a church, but how many of our relationships are home or in shambles?
Good.
How many loved ones are estranged? How many lives around us we have worked and they have been pulled down and lives have been broken and shattered.
Yes, sir.
But I want to do good. Well, that's good. But we're going to have to build in prayer. We're going to have to build in outward action. But we're going to have to build in our words too.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, church, your buildings aren't going to be big enough to contain all of the hurting and the healing that will come if we will gain by building.
That's right.
There's not enough hours in the day.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough seats in that auditorium. There's not enough seats on that bus. There's not enough seats in your cars to bring all of the people,
yes, sir,
who need us to gain by building.
That's right.
Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads this evening? The message has been a little more in length than what I initially planned, but the truth is so powerful, and the conviction that I have felt standing before you tonight, I can't put in words. What I can do, I can ask God to look on my heart and to do the work that only He can do. And I want you to know there's enough in this room tonight if we will go before God and say, God, that's what I need. I want to gain by building. Lord, guard the words of my mouth. God, help me in my outward actions. Oh God, help me to pray like the preacher talked about tonight. The invitation's for you. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, would you do what He would have you do in this invitation? Heavenly Father, please work in us, work through us for your glory and your honor. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you stand to your feet?